I think what this film shows is really shocking, and I felt ill and upset the first time that I saw it, just as I did the first time I heard Odette's story. And although it's a horrific truth that this film shares, I also think it's a really important film that we've watched, as it brings the voices of these Congolese women to our ears. We've got 5 or 10 minutes for a few questions. So I'd like to welcome Congolese friends from the group Africa Time, who've come to support Odette in answering questions about the film, as well as Kate and Penny, who are going to represent the KDOS campaign. So Pascal, thanks, is from Africa Time, as is Pastor Dharma. I'd like to come up. We've got a few chairs here. Just move those in. Odette, will you come and sit with us?
Yes, thank you very much for coming. I need to tell you that only a couple of weeks ago, that hospital was attacked by rebels. I mean, it's unbelievable. You can't believe what happened. I find it very moving, as you see. But it's the truth that, you know, they even attacked the hospital. You can't. They just seem to be inhuman. But we can only keep working. As you see from our mission statement, that's it. We can only endure man's inhumanity to man by trying our own life to exemplify humanity to each other. That's our mission statement.
So has anybody got a particular question that they'd like to ask? Keith?
Has any of this been shown on BBC?
Has any of this been shown on the BBC?
I've seen a program about 2 months ago. There were a Congolese girl that has been raised here. I believe now she's British, but she went back in the Congo to find out about what was happening there.
The people that did the raping, the UN, those who were in those young, has any of those been brought to trial?
No proper trial, but what happened is that the victim themselves are scared to come forward in the first place, and when they do, bribery is very common, and what happened, the people are arrested for a couple of days, and they bribe, and they left. They pretend they escape, but really what happened is the soldier or the police that are not paid for years, that just take the money and let them go.
I can say what we saw there in Bunyakiri, it's quite a remote part of Congo, even in the capital itself, where supposedly justice is meant to prevail, there is no justice at all. If you are able to bribe those who are holding you in prison, no matter what you have done, you'll walk free from the prison. That is the situation we live in our country.
Well, you got the UN there, troops, supposed peacekeepers, and someone committed a crime.
They are meant to be peacekeepers, and now we wonder, are they peacekeepers of the minerals or of the Congolese? Most of them are there just to take as much as they can. The war in our country suits them. When there is nothing in place, they can take all the minerals that they want without being accountable to someone.
Does the United Nations know?
They know. Of course they know.
The thing is that, in a sense, you know, we're all implicated to some degree because we all have mobile phones. And as it said in the film, 80% of this compound, whatever it is, Coltan, goes into our mobile phones. You know, but my main concern at the moment is for Odette, but also we want to try as a group, weak as we are, to link with those who are trying to support these women. you know, we feel very ineffective, but there is a movement going on. You can read it on the internet, but obviously the more people that can get to know just how bad it is for these ordinary women who are trying to live their lives, care for their children, you know, so this is why we're talking to you here tonight about them and why we show the film. And we hope that you'll talk to other friends when you go, tell them what you've seen tonight, and just get people thinking about it, really, because that's, in the end, is how we can show support for these women. I mean, I can't think of adequate words, but, you know, in a sense, that's all we can do as human beings, is say, you know, we're here, we do hear you.
Keith,
I wonder if you'd mind just to see if anybody else would
like
to ask
a question. Okay. You ever thought of petitioning the Prime Minister, number 10? Mm.
Sorry, Keith.
So far what we've done was we've organised a conference in 2008 where we've invited a lecturer at Sheffield University, an historian. His speciality was genocide. And we've invited Meg Mann, which is the MP for the Ely borough, if I can call her, and in a former minister of Mobutu, that was I think he was minister in 1999 or 1998. And from there, we've had a memorandum that people signed, which we've sent to Megman, and we've sent to our embassy in London, but we never had a reply from anybody.
I wonder if anybody else would like to.
Do we know if there are any particular aid agencies or charities who are working with the victims?
We have quite a few papers around, but you know, obviously we want to try to gather a list and eventually write. At the moment, our efforts have been to try to help Odette's case, but that's our further aim, is to link in, because we don't feel that we can do very much. We just want to try to link in some way to help these women. We don't know what we can do at the moment, but you know, we just want to get the information out there. And sorry, more people haven't come to us. We sent out 250 invites.
I have a Home Secretary.
Have you thought about writing to other churches around Sheffield and asking to go and talk to them?
I would like to. Would you like to mention it in your...
Yeah, we can speak.
Fellowship, maybe. Pascal would let us lend the film. It's actually from Pascal that we got the film.
Would you speak to somebody from four of the biggest churches in Sheffield and ask one representative of each church to come with a view to re-showing the film at a much bigger meeting? And unfortunately, you know, despite sounding interested, they haven't come tonight, but I think that doesn't mean to say that would be a really good idea to re-show the film to a wider audience.
Yeah,
the film is available if you're allowed to show it in your church. You are more than welcome to.
And we're happy to come and talk.
Yeah, if
we
get some contact details or something.
Every support is really appreciated. Talking about Odette, I've been referred to the solicitors knowing that her case. To see a person who has suffered all the ordeal that she went through back home, and she found herself in a country where she's meant to find kind of rest and peace. Now, they're playing her like a ball. It's difficult for me to find proper word to say what she's going through. I do suffer emotionally when I assist her, knowing her case, but I cannot imagine her suffering day and night. Any moral support or any other help that one can bring individually or via an organization or a church, it really appreciated.
Odette suffered similar to many of the women in the film, and she almost died. The doctor in the film helped her to escape, but the soldiers brought her to the hospital because she was dying, and he managed to. Well, what he told them was that she died. Took her to the morgue. Tells you in the information, and a pastor from one of the churches helped her to escape to this country to get her away, because her life was being threatened and would have been threatened if they'd known that she was still alive. But the judiciary chooses to disbelieve everything she says. They even disbelieve that she comes from Congo, despite a 35-page expert report going through all the factors of her. You know, it gets so difficult, really. You do feel rather helpless in the face of the indifference in our society.
And the UN themselves have confirmed that other children are Congolese refugees in Uganda, but still the Home Office is doubting that she's Congolese.
Yes.
Anybody else like to ask a question or make a comment?
Do you please take any of the papers? We've scattered them around a bit, but there's lots of material that we've already managed to gather, which is, I think, just a small part of the movement that's going on. Many people are aware. But it's not really getting to, I think it's economic, you know, it's what they're saying in the film, isn't it? That it's more to do with big business.
Yes,
they keep them all going.
Yes.
Because it's convenient. They can get stuff out without anybody stopping them. Mm. And that, you know, is so-called Western societies.
We have a corrupted government back home, and it's not something new. For 32 years, Mobutu was in power. He was promoting entertainment such as music just to blind people, not to pay attention to his politics, and be distracted like that, rather than focusing on education and things that can build a strong country. So ignorance among people is the cause also of what is going on. You heard those soldiers proudly saying that the rapes they are doing is for the cause of the Congo, the country. So for them, it's not something bad or wrong they're doing. And that is a result of ignorance. So something really has to be done back home to educate the people and to change things. So the government, we cannot expect something good from them, because those in power are being backed by Westerners. They are like puppets there. As long as they are doing what Westerners are telling them to do, they will keep them there, in spite of being who they are. Like the president that we have today, never been to university, he can't face journalists to answer properly questions. What kind of a president is that for a big, huge country with many resources like Congo? But he's there. He won't leave today. He has power behind him. Although we have intellectuals who can run that country,
anybody who protests, of course, like Odette was working for some of these women, you know, and she was a women's rights activist, so this is why she was targeted. You know, that's unfortunately how it is at the moment. And somehow we have to keep protesting, don't we?
Yes,
I was just wondering about the hospital in Fern, whether there was any way of donating to the hospital.
The last news on the net was that it was still under siege, Panzer. So they weren't able to treat anyone because it was still under siege. That's last news that we're on there. So,
it's really sort of a political question. When there was apartheid in South Africa and many people had to flee South Africa and became the diaspora in America and in France and in England, they built quite a strong movement to support the fight against apartheid. Are Congolese people able to do that here now? Some of you who are here in this country, in America, in France. I mean, it's like, where do we start to undo what is happening when there is so much indifference? And I think it was those South Africans, people who fled, who did not just flee, but they spoke out. Now, it's much more difficult for people now because the situation is such that people who have come from other countries and fled are regarded as somehow illegals. They are not welcomed in the way that the South Africans were. But it still seems that that is where the fight back could start. Are there any Congolese who are actually making connections, getting us galvanized?
In Sheffield here, Pascal and a friend of ours who is serving 18 months in Doncaster prison, they started this organization, Africa Time. The aim of it is to raise awareness of what is going on in Africa, but specifically in Congo, because every member of the board, we are from Congo. We're trying to tell people what is happening in Congo and to see if we can get strong connections to influence our MPs, who in turn can influence the government to do something that...
Are there many people in other countries, in other towns? Are they in London? And are they all over Europe? Are they in America? Are there voices being made? Because Jean-Luc and Pascal, there's two. What you need is hundreds.
Yeah, there is a group in London.
There's many different organizations, but the problem is that because of the history of the Congo, people have been used to see people raised to a certain level and then just being diverted from their aim, and that built in the heart of the community a lack of trust in somebody coming and say, well, let's do this to support our country, because most of the people that have done that before and were supported by the community just went there and to start pocketing money from bribery and things like that. So it's really difficult, but we try.
I think we're just coming up to 9 o'clock now, and I think we do feel like quite a small beginning here, but it's really, really good that everybody's here. I'd just like to briefly mention action you can take tonight to support the KDOS campaign. Firstly, at the table over there, you can sign the petition asking for Odette to be given her right to remain in the UK. Secondly, you can write your contact details. We can use your contact details
in the event, hopefully not, if Odette was to be taken to a detention centre, we could suggest what you could do to help, but also keep you in touch with other information that comes in about other groups that are supporting Congolese people. And thirdly, we'd like you to, if you wish, sign a letter of support for Odette and leave that here tonight. So that's three things: the petition, the contact list, and the letter of support. Do approach Friends from Africa Time, Pascal, Pastor Dharma, Odette herself, and people from the KDOS campaign, Kate, or Penny at the back there. If you've got any more questions, we've got a few minutes before we need to go. It just remains for me to thank everybody for coming. Thank you very much. Thanks to you, Friends from Africa Time, for coming and informing us. And thanks to St Mary's as well for their gift of hospitality tonight. And let's hope next time we meet, it's in celebration of some good news for you, Odette.
Amen.
Okay, thanks very much for coming.